About anxiety today, and I've talked about it maybe a little bit in the past, and it seems to be a thing that's everywhere as you go. We live in the age of anxiety, and so I want to talk about it because we should be able to talk about it because there's answers. Every answer that we need here on this earth should be found in here, and I see there's a big problem with anxiety in this world, and so there's got to be answers. So let's dig in and let's see what we can find. But first, let's open a prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, your grace, that you loved us when we were at our worst, that you sent your Son that did everything, that felt everything that we have felt, that we will feel, that he went through it all ahead of us, that you have given us nothing that we can't handle, that nothing that is too much. May we be able to dig from into your word and find answers. Sometimes I just pray, Lord, that you would just speak to us. We'll get away from the fancy talk and hear you just say what you need to say to us today. We love you and we worship you in your name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite guys in the Bible, David, King David, and Psalms 139. And this whole thing of this Psalms 139 is so funny because the best way to explain it is to read it. So I'm going to start at verse 19 of Psalms 139. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you. He's talking about God. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those that rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Kill them, God. Right? Kill them. That's what he's saying. I'm sick of them. I hate them. Those that hate you, I hate them, God. And so he's talking about the external, those things that are going on outside of him. Those people that truly are, standing up and saying, blaspheming God, saying, they don't stand for what God stands for. They're going in the face of God, and he doesn't like it. And he's worked up about it, the external things. But he goes from talking about his enemies, and he starts talking about his inner me. And this is the shift. So he goes on, do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those that rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. And then here's the shift. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So there's this shift, and this is an important shift. This is a great life skill. If we could learn how to do this and learn how to distract ourselves, not really be distracted, but extract ourselves from the external, from our enemies, and look into our inner me. If we could do that, if we could change that over, stop worrying about our enemies and look at our inner me, 90% of our anxiety would be gone. Because we get so enticed and worked up about drama, about everybody else's lives. We get so caught up in their drama, we forget about our own lives and stuff that we can't even control. If we could just get away from everything else and lock down into the inner me, a big pile of this stuff would disappear. So David was fussing and cussing. He was mad. Kill him, God. Kill him, God. Like, I hate them. Those that hate you, I hate them. But then he says, search me, the shift. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Which is really what he's saying is, nothing changes until I change. Why am I anxious? Anybody get anxious once in a while? Like, kind of have anxiety sometimes? Because I've often said, the older I get, the more anxious I am. And I don't know why. But there should be answers in here. We are definitely living in the age of anxiety. So many people, the young people, are really full of anxiety. The older people are really filled with anxiety. Where does this come from? Well, you know what? I'll tell you the truth, and you may call me old-fashioned for this, but I know it's true that when you turn on your social media, when you turn on TVs, the major networks, and what they market, and their fear tactics that they push forward into you, and then the commercials that pop up after these major networks, these conglomerates actually own the commercials that push the drugs to help you with the anxiety that they are pushing on top of you from their stories. Oh, Marty, you're so old-fashioned. Look at you, you're so old, and you don't get it. I do get it. I know that I see the fear tactics. I say, kill them, God. See, that's what David was doing. Kill them, God. I hate them. See, we got to be careful. We don't want to get caught up into what David was so worked up in, you know, the enemy that he forgot about the inner me. But he said, then he came down and said, search me. You know what, God? Just search me. Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. It's not about what's out there. It's not about what is out there when it comes to me becoming anxious. It's about how I let it in. How I let that stuff, that external, in. Now, if you think about something long enough, and I think you could probably agree with me, if you start thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it hard enough and long enough, all of a sudden it starts to become a little bit of truth to it. And you allow that into your mind, and the enemy gets into your mind and starts to make a path. You know, and if you hunt or if you do anything and you see, there's a path that you walk, and all of a sudden it gets beat down, and all of a sudden it's a real path. It's just not a little bit of grass that's pushed aside. It's a real path, and so you walk, it becomes a highway. When you let the enemy in, it's like Highway 97, and that's where that anxiety, that's where you get attacked, is through a highway in your brain. Search me, O God. God is watching over me. You know that? You better watch what you say about me, because he likes me. You better be listening. You better not be on your phone, because I'm going to be talking about phones. God really likes me. He loves me. And you better not say anything bad about me. He doesn't even want my foot to even be moved. He knows the hairs on my head. He knows me before I was born, when I was in the womb, when there was darkness. He knew me. He really knows me, and he loves me, so you better be careful. What does it say at the beginning of 139? And I'll read it here. This is how much he knows you. So this is the question where I'm going with this. Why are we anxious? Why are we anxious if this? O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know me when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going down and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Why am I anxious? You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, there you are. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle at the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Why am I anxious? If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. You created my innermost being. You knit me together with my in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together. That hurts me because I think of children that are taken. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days are ordained for me and were written in your book before one of them came to be. Why am I anxious? That doesn't make sense. I should not be anxious. Because God loves me, and he's watching out for me. But maybe there is some way in my life and in your life, something that you are doing that is causing you to be vulnerable. in the way that you perceive the things that the external, the stuff on the outside, maybe there's some way that's making you vulnerable to being anxious in your life. We're going to look at a few points. It doesn't mean that you can't have anxiousness. You know, when you see hockey players and they go up to get awards, these guys are on the ice, they're in front of 20,000 people, and they have to perform, and they do good, and they're not scared. They're out there just doing their thing, but then they have to go up and get an award for best defenseman, and they're like, you know, they're scared, and they're kind of shaken. That doesn't mean that you, that kind of, it's okay to be a little scared and shake, but it's when you become anxious to the point where things are going good, and you're looking for, and you can't even accept that things are going good, and all you're worried about is, when is this going to turn bad? When is this all going to blow up? Rather than accepting and enjoying that time that's going good, you can't get by that, and all you're worried about is when is it going to go bad? That's where we're not supposed to be. Why am I anxious? First of all, maybe it's your intake. Possibly could be your intake. Now understand this, when I'm talking, I'm not pointing at you, I'm pointing at me. Cellulite and anxiousness have a lot in common. You cannot pray either one away. It's about intake. It's truly about intake. It's what you are taking in. Now, look at this thing. I haven't used it in a while. See? I don't even know if I can make it work. Let's see. I won't show you my code. I don't even know how to get where. Look at all these apps. You know? I got TSN, the Weather Network, Victoria Royals. Sorry, Landon, not, the Giants aren't on here. Twitter, blah, 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 blah. And there's all these cool things, and some people have Candy Crush, and they have all these. What do you have on yours? All these things that are on yours. But this was something neat I found. Like, I don't even know if I can do it. Look, watch this. Watch this. Have you ever tried that one? It's gone. Your intake. We take in so much empty calories. And I'm not saying there isn't some good stuff to a phone. I'm saying I run my business. I do some stuff and blah, blah, blah. I do some stuff. I'm not saying that. But this, there's too much. There's too much stuff. And so we want the peace of God. Who doesn't want the peace of God? Especially when you're anxious. I don't want to be anxious. I want the peace of God. But we've got so much going on in our lives. So much going on. We're on this thing all the time. We're just on here, and there's so much, and we're asking for the peace of God, but we don't have any place for God to put it because we're so full. We come to church and we go, you know what? I want to have the peace of God. I want something good to happen. And so we come here, we have arrived here, and we've had 17 hours of this kind of stuff and TV, all that social media stuff that has been sprinkled, that is hardwired. It's hardwired to teach you how to think and how your things are going, that highway through your brain. And so you come here with 17 hours of that, and you expect us to lay down 45 minutes and fix all that. We have the conversation of the entire human race in our back pocket. Where's he going? What's he doing? What happened at that meeting? Where's he going on vacation? What happened in Germany? Did you hear what happened over there? Of course we're freaking out. Of course we're numbing ourselves. Of course we're zombies. Of course we're drinking and smoking and popping because Satan has a shock collar on our back pocket and we don't even know. Get your intake levels up. If you want to work out, and I took a lot of this, you know, anxiety, I have a little bit of it, you know, so I got to check it, find, you know, and I have children that deal with it, and that's okay. Well, I think we all deal with anxiety. So there's got to be answers. And Stephen Furtick talked a lot about this, and I took a lot from him because, man, this hits home. And he was going to work out, and he said, I had to work out, and this guy, he was going to teach me how to work out, and he said, you can't out-train a bad diet. So what he said is, you have to log all that you eat. So what you do, you got to write it down. So what do you mean chips are no good? What do you mean chocolate bars are no good? So you write all this stuff down, and he said, you know, it's a good idea, and that's what we need to do when it comes to our intake levels for our body, for, you know, when dealing with anxiety, when dealing with the external, on making us vulnerable, how we let it in. What are we letting in? What if we actually took a log of what we allow in our lives for a week? We might be astonished. We may find out that we are letting the enemy in, and then we are asking God to take away this, and then we're allowing the enemy in, and we're praying to God to take this away. And so we're creating our own reality, and we're asking God to take it away. And we find ourselves weak in the battle. We find ourselves struggling because we have faith. When you're a believer in Christ, you have faith. But if you don't feed your faith, if you don't get your intake levels up in the right, if all you are eating is empty calories, and you don't get up your intake levels where they need to be, you don't feed your faith. Because your faith is not fed, you cannot access the power that you actually have. And you find yourself weak in the battle. Amen, or am I hurting people's feelings? Because I'm talking to myself. Don't walk out. I'm talking to myself first. I always do it. Search me, O God. Search me and show me where the things that I'm doing that make me anxious. Intake levels. Oh yeah, Marty, the last time I read the Bible or read a verse was, yeah, the last time it came up there. Get your intake levels up. We're weak in the battle, and we wonder why. So first one, when it comes to anxiousness, what are your intake levels? What are you full of the most? Second one, check for imbalance. Check for imbalance. We are a limited resource. I'm a limited resource. You're a limited resource. You can only do so much. If you do not have a sense of importance, if you do not have a sense of importance, I don't know, that's good enough. If you have a sense of, if you don't have a sense of importance in your life, of what you should be doing, everything starts to become urgent. If you don't have that sense of priority, everything starts to become urgent, and you get stressed. And so people start asking things of you, and you start saying yes to things that you should be saying no to. And by saying yes to things that you should be saying no to, you are actually saying no to the things that you should be saying yes to. And you start getting stressed out, and you get spread out, and you are a limited resource, and you start getting really anxious. Verdick was, he was saying that there was a guy that came into his church and said, you know, after I came in, it was like, you know what, that church wasn't really that bad. And he said, you know what, I don't care that what he thinks if it really wasn't that bad. I already knew that it really wasn't that bad. It was already not that bad before he came. In fact, it's better than not really that bad. It's glorious because God is here today. I didn't know that I was waiting for an award for the church that really wasn't that bad. It doesn't matter. So that person doesn't like you. It doesn't matter. So Stephen Furtick, he said, I was talking to this guy, and I had a problem in the church. So sometimes when you're a leader of a church, there's things, and you just don't have all the answers. And so you sit down with somebody that's got a lot of wisdom, and he sat down with this guy, and he said, for 30 minutes, I talked to this guy about what I should do with this problem. And so anyways, the guy who's got full of wisdom and all that, he looked at him and he said, Stephen, it doesn't matter. And okay, so Stephen, he said, okay, right. And he's got his paper out, and he's writing down point one, it doesn't matter. And okay, so he's going to get a big answer here, and that was it. It doesn't matter. 99.999973% of all the things that we worry about don't matter. Scientific number, by the way. Okay? Doesn't matter. You stay up all night worrying about something. Has anybody done that? Were you stressed about something? And then God says, you know, why are you worrying about that? Because I've already figured it out. because I've already handled it. And you're staying up worrying about it. And so we don't have this sense of importance. We don't have this sense of priority in our life. And everything becomes urgent and stressful. And we start saying yes to the things we should be saying no to. We start saying no to the things we should be saying yes to because we're a limited resource. And we are believers. You have asked Christ into your life. You believe what Christ did. That you know, everything. I believe what he did. He's in my heart. And Christ is the solid rock. We've heard that, right? He is the solid rock whom we stand on, and storms come and we're okay. But get this, if you don't have balance in your life, you will find yourself standing on the rock, but you will be unsettled and you will be pushed around because you are unbalanced if you don't learn to weigh everything in your life. You will find yourself on the solid rock, pushed around and unsettled. But when you turn things around, when you start turning this around and you start giving weight to the right things and you start balancing out, then you can stand on Christ's rock and you are balanced. Okay, test. Things that don't matter. What they think. Those people out there, the naysayers, what this and that person say, "Yo, he don't like me." I don't care if he don't like me. What does it matter? What they think. What does matter? What God thinks. What does matter is that I keep my faith strong. What does matter is that I have a gracious spirit. What does matter is that I don't let my circumstance, what my situation, wreck my life that I'm going through. What does matter is that I encourage others. What does matter is that I love others the way that Christ first loved me. That's what matters. What doesn't matter is what they think. Because if you just start worrying about what everybody thinks, you are going to be stressed out for the rest of your life. Well, search me, O God, and test me. And know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Anybody getting their balance back? Anybody feel like maybe I'm going to get my balance back? Maybe I'm going to figure out my priorities and my importance and get things straightened out. Thirdly, indecision. Anybody not like making decisions and so you keep putting them off? Anybody ever do that? I find myself doing that sometimes. You know, you just don't want to go there. Make 3 decisions this week. Do it. By Wednesday, make 3 decisions. And you're going to feel really good. Make 3 decisions this week. And if you're wrong, apologize. But just do it. Do it or don't. Buy the house or don't. Sell the house or don't. My wife wants to buy a piece of land in Big Lake. This is not going to her. This is for everyone but her. It's sold. All these things, do it or don't, make a decision. You can always go back. If it doesn't work out, you can always go back. And then we find ourselves, when it comes to anxiousness, because we don't make decisions and we hang on to them. And we, no, I'm not going to make a decision on that. What I'm doing is I'm making more opportunities down the road, and we call them options. And we get stressed out even more with these options. You know, when I went to school, I didn't have a choice to go to this school or that school. And like, as you get into bigger towns and bigger cities, there's more schools to go to. And where should I go? And it, like, things that should be simple. When I was, you know, in primary and kindergarten, there was a Havelock Consolidated Elementary School. That was it. You weren't going anywhere else until you graduated from grade 7. And then you only went to one other school, Weymouth Consolidated High School. No other school. But now there's so many schools, and so kids are getting stressed out. Which one should I go to? Who are the coolest kids? Blah, 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 blah. And I came from a little town that, you know, was, we didn't even have a store. I didn't even go to a McDonald's until I was 16. There was no McDonald's around until I was 16. We went to a McDonald's, man. 16, that thing was awesome. McDonald's. We went. We didn't have the options. And, you know, we had a little store, but it was a Bluebird bus. Like, how could that ever fly today? You went into the Bluebird bus. That was our store. You went in and it was a bus, but it had pop, Pepsi, and chips and all that stuff. That was the store. But nowadays, you go to say you want gas, and so you go to a gas station. We have too many options. When you can go to the gas station, but you go in there and you can have coffee. You can have, I don't know, all the things you can get. You can have a car wash there. You can have a massage there. I just want a gas. Too many options. And it starts to stress us out. There's too much stuff. And we pray for the peace of God, but there's no place for it. And so we got to, you know, we do. We got to get our intake up. We got to start making decisions. I got my stuff all messed up. I'm stressing out and getting anxious. Not really. But if you make a decision, you know, and we say, you know, with all this indecision, and I find it with work. And so I've got to call this person when I get home. I'm tired. When I get home from work, I don't want to phone this person, tell them what's up, and that person, and when I'm going to get there. And I just like, oh, I just want to push it off. But then you get into it, and you start making those calls, and you start getting stuff done, and you make a couple of decisions at night, you're going to feel like you went to a spa. You're going to feel good when you make a decision. And it all, sometimes, it goes like this, with two letters. Oh, no. Try it. No. Sometimes that feels good sometimes, because you are a limited resource. Fourthly, things when it comes to anxiousness in our lives, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the ways everlasting. Integrity. What is your integrity? Integrity is the essential being of who you are. The natural essential being of who you are that remains unchanged in any situation. So here I am. I'm talking right now. And so, you know, you come in here and you see people at church. And so, hey, how's it going? You give them a hug. But that person is not going to be the same person when I go to work. I'm not just going to go up to the guys that I work with, hey, how's it going, and give them a hug. I'm not going to do that. Or I'm going to get punched in the face, probably. You don't do that. So it's the essential nature of who you are remains unchanged in your entire wherever you are. But, I mean, things can change to the point you're not just hugging people at work. But you can hug people at church. You don't go to the ball field or the hockey arena and just start hugging people because you could get in trouble. Okay? But you can do it here. It's not that part of the integrity. The integrity is, there's a problem. It's hard to have a peaceful heart when you're keeping secrets, when you have a life where you find yourself keeping secrets. When you're at home and you want to make sure that your wife doesn't get a hold of this phone to see some messages on it. That causes anxiousness. And we're searching for the peace of God. It's hard to, you know, pray away the panic when we're creating it ourselves. And so I hide this thing. I don't, but I'm just saying. So you hide this thing because you don't want your wife to find some messages that maybe some other woman talked to you about. Or maybe you have a Snapchat. Maybe you're younger, and I don't know who has Snapchats. My kids, I think, have them, right? Do you have that stuff? They do. Don't look at us, Dad. So they have Snapchat. But what if you've got three Snapchats, and the one that your parents see is the decoy while you're hiding everything else on those two others? And you want the peace of God in your heart. You believe, I want peace. I don't want anxiousness. But when you're creating the panic, it's hard to pray it away. And you find yourself, you want the peace of God, but you find yourself in pieces. You find that your foundation is actually cracked. And so you've got three people. I'm not saying you have your split personality, but there's three different people that you act. Or four. There's the at-work Marty. There's the after-work Marty. There's the Friday night Marty. And there is the Sunday 9:30, 10 o'clock, 10:30 Marty. In which, Marty, have you ever messed up and brought out the wrong person where you were and did something or said something? Oh, I shouldn't have done that. You brought, you know, but or you come to church and which guy am I bringing today? I got to put that mask on so nobody looks into my life and sees into my life of what's going on. I don't want them to see it, so I got to bring in that, Marty. It's like, yeah, a guy maybe would see you at church and go, oh, I didn't know you went to church. I saw you saying hallelujah, but I saw you at work saying, and I'm not condemning you because I'm talking to myself because I get uptight sometimes at work. And I do say something once in a while, and it's one of my biggest things, if not my biggest thing, that I am working on very hard. And don't get me wrong, I'm not a freak show. I'm not like that, but I do once in a while say something that I know I shouldn't. And that's me. That's where I really got to work on my integrity. Search me, O God. I want to be the highest me. Like, God created us. He loves us. He has saved us. He has lifted us up. He has rescued us. He has called me. He has secured me. This is my child in whom I am well pleased. I want to be the highest level of the Marty that can be. All these other layers of Marty at work, Marty at, they should all be the same. Marty Friday night, Marty here. They should all be essentially the same person. And all these other layers, they don't matter. But you know what, Marty? I am anxious because my mom, or I'm anxious because of my health, or I'm anxious because my finances. No. These things can trigger anxiousness. But this is the whole learning, the whole truth of the New Testament teachings and the Word of God in the New Testament is that the Word of God, the biblical truth that is found in here, intake levels, full heavy-duty calories, the Word, the truth that is in here that people have tried to get rid of for thousands and thousands of years and is still here, the truth that is found in this Word of God, the New Testament teaching, transcends. What it does, it transcends the peace that passes all understandings will guard your heart. That's the teaching of the New Testament, is that this stuff will help transcend and give you peace that guards your heart and passes all understanding. That is found in there. Next point. Are we still here? Are we passing out? Are we sleeping? We're on our phones? We're looking at empty calories? No, we're still here. Just a little bit more. Intention. What is your intention? Search me, O God. This is David saying it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. What is my intention? Do you find yourself in the middle all the time? Do you find yourself wanting to be seen all the time? Because you probably should get out of the middle. And you probably should get off to the side and see where you can be used by Christ. Because when you're in the middle, you're getting looked at. How is that person perceiving me? Oh, did I wear the right shoes? You know, I didn't. I wore my work shoes because I don't care. It doesn't matter. Remember that guy said 99.999973 scientific number? It doesn't matter. So get out of the middle. Because we're just so worried. What can that person do for me? How are they looking at me? I wonder if I'm doing it right. And so you get off to the side. You get out of the way of Christ. You let him do it, and then you see the need. It's hard to see the need when you're in the middle of everything. But if you can get off to the side and then kind of see what's going on, I can see better now. I can see the need better. What is your intention? Are you trying to help? Or are you trying to get in the way of Christ and his work? Next one, imagination. This is a good one. This is a sacred spot. This is a spot that has been given by God to every one of us. The imagination is that place. Remember when you used to run around and you used to just say, make up words and sing songs and go dig for dinosaur bones? And like, that's the stuff I used to do. And you just don't care. And you just, I was with a guy yesterday with his son. We were doing a little bit of work in the Big Lake store, and his son just, there was a big mud puddle, and he just went right through it. And his dad looked at me and went, and I just thought, perfect example of imagination. He don't care. It's just, you just did whatever you wanted. Remember that? Wasn't that so fun when you had, when you were little and you just don't care? You just, like, I was talking, you know, I remember when we picked up a guy in Likely when I lived there, and he just was walking from the dump, and we picked him up. My kids were with me, and they were little. And I don't even know that Paige was there. I don't think she was even born yet. And we picked him up, and his teeth were really bad, like they were gone, but maybe a couple teeth left. And his name was Herky McBurney, and so we were giving him a ride, and my kids just looked at him, and they just said, "How come your teeth are so funny?" And he just looked at me, and he said, "Man, your kids are ignorant." You know, but they just said stuff. They just said stuff, and their imagination, they just were able to do it. Imagination, your imagination in here is your playground that God has given. It's a sacred place. It's a playground, but it has turned into a battleground. The enemy has set up shop in your imagination, and he has turned it into a battleground. And you don't want to go there anymore, because when you go there, you start worrying. And you don't have any of that freedom anymore, and running around and just singing songs and making up words and jumping in mud puddles. There's no more of that. But God says we got to turn this around. God says we're getting to turn this around. You know what? We don't give Satan enough credit. And I'm not saying credit for, you're doing a good job. But actually, he is doing a really good job at doing bad things. We don't give him enough credit. Because he attacks our kids. And we just say, we chalk it up to this or that and that or this. We don't give credit. Satan, get your hands off of God's property. Does that even feel kind of weird? That better not feel weird saying that in a church. To hear that. Satan, get your hands off of God's property. Imagination. That is God's house. And we're about to get it back. Because I've got dreams to dream. I got visions to see. The Bible talks about that. Who's having them? Because our imagination is no longer a playground. It is a battleground. And we don't even want to go there. The kids that are running around. See this girl right here? She's just sitting on her knees having fun. That's awesome. Sorry, I brought all the attention to you. But she still don't even care because she's having fun. That's where we need to be. But us, we go into our imagination and we're like, we're just freaking out. Because all the stuff that's going on in our minds, and we don't even want to go there. But God says it's time to get it back. Because I got dreams to dream. I got visions to see. I got a future to live in Christ. Man, I better hear an amen, because that's what it's all about. Just about done. The good news is, and if you're kind of bummed going, man, there's all this stuff I need to work on. I need to get my balance back. I need to, what are my intake levels? What am I full of the most? Man, I don't make many decisions. My integrity, yeah, that's true. Like, the guy at work is a little different than the guy Sunday morning. Intentions, what are my intentions anyways? Like, so you might be stressed out going, I got to work on all these things. Well, that's okay, me too. But the good news is, if you have anxiousness, if you worry a lot, if you're really good at worrying, you will be even better at worshiping. Because worshiping uses the same imagination, but is for the opposite reason, to praise God. The opposite purpose. And so we reverse this cycle of the way we are thinking of things. And so you wait, and I woke up this morning, and I wanted to watch the news, because my wife's like, "Why you watch the news? All that stuff on there, you know, it's a bummer." And then the news is on at night, so you go to bed depressed too, because the only thing good is that a dog was saved somewhere in Vancouver, right? That's the only good news. And all this other bad news, 20 people were shot, this was happening, that was happening. It's just boom, boom, boom. And if you ever watched that movie Pearl Harbor, when they're trying to get in their planes and those poor people were in the boats, so the Navy were just getting hammered, that's what's happening to us. We're getting hammered. And the bombs are coming down. First thing in the morning, let's attack them. First thing in the morning with all this stuff. And that's called The fear cast, not the newscast. I call it the fear cast. And so you wake up in the morning, what do? You turn on the fear cast, or do you turn on the faith cast, the Word of God, and dig in and hear a little bit of Stephen Furtick, or hear a little bit of Francis Chan, or dive in yourself and read some of the red stuff, the red words, what Jesus says. That's the faith cast. Today, I did the faith cast, and I feel good. I didn't get hammered today by the bullets of the news, the fear cast. You want to talk, it sounds a little corny, but it'll drive depression back. It'll drive your anxiety back. Search me, O God, and know my heart. People, search our heart. And test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. Where am I letting the enemy in? How am I letting? It's not that it's what is out there. It's how we let it in. And the last one, isolation. Satan. Well, there's that word again, Satan. He wants to fight us in isolation. He wants to fight you. Just against you. He doesn't want to fight you and a friend. He don't like that. He wants to fight you on your own. You know, if you look at anxious, in the middle of anxious is the word, the letter I, myself, but the last two words is us. How to fight anxiousness? Us, together, because for many of us, we seek the peace, we want peace, but we are unable to grab onto the peace, to that support that we need walking alone. We need more. And that's what, there's Bible studies. That's why there's get-togethers during the middle of the week. We need to feed the faith. We need to feed it. We need to get our intake levels up. And then so you go to a Bible study, and maybe it's a young adult's Bible study, say at the Dickens, or maybe there's a Bible study here. And so you go there, and then you crack open some issues. And you're like, well, I got these issues, but I don't really want to talk too much about it. And so anyways, you kind of let a little teeny bit out. And then there's another guy over there that says, yeah, me too. It's not just me. But the devil wants to make it look like it's just you. And he wants to hammer on you in his kind of ISIS attack. We are not the only ones. You have to water the faith. We don't want faith dehydrated. And so it ends, anxiousness ends in us. We do it together. Amen? So this is how we do it. And it all comes down, wow, God has done everything. The first part of 139 is all about what God, how much he loves us. And he saw me in the womb. He knew my days, my words before they were ever formed. He knew the end before it opened. He knew the book before. He knew the ending before he even read it. He read it. But before we read it, before any of this stuff ever happened, he knew it all. Why am I anxious? Your intake levels, get them up. Empty calories? Yeah, get rid of a few. Your integrity, we've kind of went through it. Your indecision, your imbalance. Watch out for isolation. Satan wants to fight you alone. He wants to tear you down alone. Grab onto a friend. Go to a meeting. Do it together. There's so many things that, and I know I've went overboard, so I'm going to stop here now. But God loves us. There are answers to everything, every battle that we have in our life. This faith or this anxiousness that suffocates the world. I just want to get out of it. And I want to crawl up. And I want to get into the mountain air and the freshness of God's peace. And just breathe it in. I want to be there. And God offers a way. Search me. So tonight, if you think about it, Psalms 139, read it. It shows how much he loves you. And then it shows David like talking about the politicians, talking about all those people that are against him. Oh, I hate him. I hate him. Kill him, God. Kill him. And then he goes, you know what? Search me, God. Whatever. Because David didn't want to wait. David did not want to wait until his enemies were all gone, until he felt the peace of God. He wanted to deal with it as it was coming in. And we need to do the same. Amen? Thank you.